KDW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden delivering his third State of the Union address tonight. Among the president's guests, Kate Cox, the Texas woman unable to get an abortion in her home state because of the Supreme Court Dobbs decision. The White House press secretary, Corinne Jean-Pierre, telling ABC's Start Here podcast.
Roe v. Wade needs to become the law of the land. That's how we're going to protect women and their decisions, their own personal decisions that they have to make with doctors. And so that's what we're going to fight for. That's what the president's going to continue to speak to in the next couple of months.
Biden seeking to make abortion a major campaign issue this year. IVF treatments resuming in Alabama following a new law passed to prevent doctors from being prosecuted. It was needed following a state Supreme Court decision ruling frozen embryos are people. 8 teenagers shot and wounded in a Philadelphia bus stop yesterday. Police are still looking for 3 suspects. National Guard troops soon to be stationed in New York City subways to fight crime. This is ABC News. Hope for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas before the holy month of Ramadan, now almost gone. A senior Egyptian official tells ABC News the Hamas delegation has left talks in Cairo. Ramadan begins on Monday. Talks could resume next week. New escalation in the attacks on cargo ships in the Middle East.
For the first time after months of missile attacks on cargo ships, the Iranian-backed Houthis have left crew members dead, killing 3 on board and critically injuring 3 others in the Gulf of Aden. The ship, a Liberian-owned carrier, the surviving crew abandoning ship, a U.S.-guided missile cruiser now headed to assist.
That's ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz. Planes and trains across Germany at a standstill, with train drivers and ground staff at airports going on strike. German airline Lufthansa says 1,000 flights a day will have to be canceled. Virtually all the country's trains are stopped. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Maggie Don, host of The Maggie Don Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wagihau. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Wisconsin Wednesday with Labor Secretary Julie Sue talking up apprenticeship opportunities at a Madison construction site.
They are learning skills that are about engineering and technology. They are learning skills that is about complex math and science. And these are the kinds of skills that we need in a variety of jobs.
President Biden Wednesday signed an executive order that aims to create paid apprenticeships in the trades to help rebuild America's infrastructure. Most kids are doing okay after a school bus and a dump truck crashed in Waukesha Wednesday morning. Police say there were 34 kids on the bus. Some of them got some scrapes and cuts from broken glass. Only one child had to go to the hospital. I'm Nate Wagihau, Civic Media News.
The Bucks get crushed by Golden State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks began their West Coast trip by losing by 35 points to Golden State, the final 125-90. Doc Rivers says the Warriors were rested and ready after getting blown out by Boston Sunday.
What did they have, 3-4 days off after losing by 50? What was the odds of them playing poorly? 0.
Marquette losing at home on senior night to one of the best teams in the nation, the number 2 ranked UConn Huskies, 74-67. Shaka Smart.
I told the guys in the locker room afterwards, you know, the real way to honor your seniors is what happens after senior night, the rest of the season.
In Green Bay, the girls' state high school basketball tournament is underway at the Resch Center. The finals on Saturday. Tonight in Madison, it's the Badgers against Rutgers.
You continue to push. You continue to reward the guys that are playing winning basketball and then helping the guys that are trying to find that space for them.
That's Badgers head basketball coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 50 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, becoming cloudy with some showers after midnight, our low 34. Tomorrow, some rain likely. We could get a quarter inch or more with a high of 44. A little snow can mix in with the rain tomorrow night before it all ends on Saturday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allball. Noon to 2 on Thursday, we'll preview Biden's State of the Union address right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back to Hour 2, Mino and the Mayor. We've had two great guests on, kind of talking about what's going on at the Children's Museum. And, of course, it's National Cereal Day, so we're asking people to text in their favorite cereal.
But it can't be Kashi because the mayor will not allow you to choose Kashi.
Not Kashi, that was Mino's. But all the great things that happen, something that we can all relate to in some way, shape, or form are our movies. And we've got the film festival that takes place here in our community. It's open to anybody. We have listeners in Appleton and Oshkosh.
Absolutely.
You guys are great about inviting people. But we've got two of the leaders of that, Nicholas Wattier and Caitlin Schuchart.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So welcome. You've both been involved in a little closer to Mike. You've both been involved in films and movies for some time. I was reading about the different varieties that you have there. So what do you have coming up next? What do you have? You had something in February. What was that about?
We started the festival with our Wisconsin Zone. We felt like that's the best way to start and end the festival. Kind of a big boom. They're our bread and butter, our Wisconsin artists. So we want to support them most definitely. And coming up March 9th, we have Indigenous Stories. So we've got a whole bunch of different kinds, lots of documentaries, an animated film. So I think it's going to be a lot of different kinds of stories.
So, Nick, when people submit, anybody can submit a film, or what's the process?
Yeah,
on
absolutely.
That?
So
everybody has like a passion to be, right? Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people would like to be in the film industry or be a producer, publisher.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, there's links on our website to get there, gbfilmfestival.org, but you could also find us on Film Freeway. We partner with this organization, and really they're kind of the place to go for independent filmmakers. And you can upload your film there and submit to a whole bunch of different festivals. We're one of the listed festivals. We then have a process of having screeners go through and watch everything that's submitted. And I mean, when I say everything, sometimes it's 300-400 films that our team will go through in a year to try and filter out and find the best of the best and bring it to our community to, you know, allow our local audiences to see what's out there.
And I think it's pretty cool because you think maybe these filmmakers, film producers are a little bit older. You have some youth that have, I've been to that many times. You used to have the Radisson before you moved it to the Tarleton.
And, absolutely.
I remember going to see some of these films. I'm like, wow, I mean, these are high school kids that put together.
Yeah. Well, so in our fall session, I forget exactly which event it is, but one of our fall sessions, we're going to have a film made right here in Green Bay by the Boys and Girls Club team. Wow. Their instructor, Craig Knitt's been a great partner with us. He runs the Wildwood Film Festival. And every time that we do, you know, a youth focused event, he comes through with a great project from students. And yeah, I mean, for us, we've always been focusing on trying to build an audience that's willing to, for lack of a better term, take a risk and go see something that doesn't have Tom Cruise on the banner.
Right.
You know, I mean, independent film can be so great, and you can tell so many stories that video film allows an emotional connection unlike any other.
But if I can jump in, Nick. I'm sorry, I had to run and grab a book for a guy that's coming in. But anyway, two of the greatest films, whatever you want to call it, I've ever seen were both independent. One was a film from this girl from the lady from the UP who followed these four soldiers from a small town in the UP to Afghanistan. It was called Where Soldiers Come From.
Oh, absolutely.
Mind-boggling good. And the other one is the one that I hosted for you a few years back. And it's funny, something popped up in my Facebook like yesterday, you know, 6 years ago today or whenever it was. And it was the one about these Samoan kids in Utah where football was such a big part of their heritage and their life. It was incredible. But gangs were also such a big part of their lives. Yeah. And not to give it away, but this one kid, I mean, these kids are being recruited by Southern Cal and UCLA and all the big schools. And the one kid pulled a gun on somebody and went to prison for 6 years. And that's where his life kind of... But the funny part is, Nick, I've followed those kids then, since then.
Oh, really?
And the great running back was like one of the big stories. They switched him to defense, and he had some tryouts with the New England Patriots, but then got in a car accident and broke his back. So I've always wondered what happened to that kid. But we had Mark Murphy there. We had the coaches there. What a great film. I can't remember the name of it. Yeah. For the love of football.
Escapes me. That's probably 4 or 5 years ago now.
Yeah, but it was so good, Jim. You can't believe it.
I think I saw that. They showed that at this festival, right? Yeah,
yes.
Mark Murphy, I was there for that.
Oh, you were there, and I hosted the thing then.
Yes,
the question
you did. I don't remember that part, but no, I'm just kidding. I thought John was going to jump in because you said you don't have the Tom Cruise, but he would like to get the John Mino. Yeah. So how does he get in a film?
Absolutely.
Caitlin, tell us a little bit about the Indigenous. That's your next festival that's coming up, the next series. And what is that? That's March. That's this weekend.
That's this weekend. Saturday, yes.
Okay. It's like $20?
It's $20. You get to stay the whole day. We have two sessions, a 4 o'clock and a 7 o'clock. Different films. You know, $20 gets you light appetizers. It gets you a cozy film community. It gets you an awesome spot at the Tarleton. First come, first serve.
A networking opportunity.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because I'm sure you guys got a pretty...
We've got some filmmakers coming.
Right.
This local... session, we actually have the people who worked on the soundtrack, which I think is really fun and pretty different. We usually just have, like, the director or producer, but this time they're sending... the people who worked on the soundtrack. So we always get somebody within the industry to kind of give us a different look at.
And these films that we're going to be seeing, this Indigenous series, local or all over, or what? I saw some of them are 2 minutes, which I could watch those, and some are hour and 55 minutes, which I guess I could, but.
They're from all over. I mean, a lot of the organizations like On Native Ground, which is Indigenous Media Corporation. Yeah, unfortunately, it's not just Oneida. Well, I shouldn't say unfortunately. It's from all
over.
That's
good, though. People
lots of Indigenous stories from all over the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's one of the things that I like to point out, too, is we've traditionally, as a festival, focused on bringing the viewpoints, bringing the world to Green Bay, right? We want to create an experience here that is culturally enriching and tells stories that you can't see in other ways.
Right.
So... yeah, some of those stories. I mean, we played a lot of great documentaries. I think that was the same year John was there. We played one from Iraq, showing what it actually was like to live in the refugee camps.
Yeah.
And would not see that story any other way.
I was just going to say that so many of your films, I would guess the majority, you wouldn't see that anywhere else.
Right.
And that's why they're the independent venues.
And another thing, though, like the one about Where Soldiers Come From and the football one I watch, I mean, those were years in the making.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you whittle it down to 2 hours maybe or something, but you're talking years of shooting.
Well, you would have loved to see, we just wrapped on a film and premiered it last month called Honor in the Air. You may be familiar with the name Scott Alwyn. He was a helicopter pilot and a producer out of mid-Wisconsin, actually ran through our fiscal sponsorship program to produce a documentary. And we just finished that project, and it's just unbelievable storytelling about, you know, and the listeners may not know, Scott Alwyn is the most decorated helicopter pilot in history from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So.
But I think that story took her at least 5 years.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So, I mean, the work that goes into these is pretty amazing.
And that's why we want to showcase it, right? We know that they put their time, their money, their friends, their family, their neighbors, you know, and it deserves to be seen in front of an audience.
It's great.
And this is open to anyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can get tickets online on our website or you can show up at the door. You know, I'll be there. Taking cash or check or charge.
Jim's the last guy with a checkbook in Green Bay.
Hey, I still cut checks for all the expenses. I'm the treasurer.
There you go. Oh, good. But people, family friendly?
Yeah.
I mean, I think $20 is like not a lot of money, right? I mean,
yes.
I don't want to discount $20, but for what you get to see what, four films or something?
I think we have six.
We got six?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Six. Well, the way we think about it really is a two-hour programming session.
Right.
And we're doing two sessions of 2 hours for that $20 ticket. So, and this is a major shift compared to most festivals that just want to squeeze everything into one weekend. We kind of went, look, there's burnout. You're not going to be able to see everything if we do multiple screens at the theater. Let's just, you know, split it up, give our volunteers, because we're all volunteer. No one in our organization gets paid. We're a 501c3. So we try to find these, I like to call them vaguely specific themes. like last year, we did an event called Playing with Sound. Any movie could have something with sound that's unique. It could be the soundtrack. It could be the editing. Could be the special effects. There's all kinds of ways to fit into that category. But for the audience that came, they had this interesting target that they're not going to go see at the commercial cinema down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we had a few 15-minute pieces. We had an hour-long piece. We even did some kind of experimental piece where we played one of the films silent and I DJ'd on top of it.
Oh, cool.
a silent disco, yeah.
You really can bring out the creative juices in filmmaking.
Exactly.
Right? You know, and that's, I think that's important that, well, I think sometimes we think it is what it is, and you guys allow, especially students, to really think outside the box.
Experimental. Right. What do you? If I ask this technical question, what do they shoot on generally these days?
Man, digital. It depends. Okay. I mean, a lot of the shorts that we see are being shot on iPhone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Or you know, don't have to be specifically Apple product, but then we do see some of our higher low budget projects. A lot are shooting with the Blackmagic Ursa cameras. We see some with prosumer digital cameras. It's a potpourri, really. I think that the big message, though, is it doesn't matter what your equipment is if you've got the right story.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Right. And totally I want to say, Nick, that I don't want to scare people away to some of those other things you were mentioning. It's amazing what you can do on a phone.
Absolutely. I don't know if anyone here saw Gags. That was shot downtown on City Deck. We played that, and the whole thing was shot on phones.
Right. Yeah, that was very cool. It was just the marketing on that I thought was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
did they talk to you about that in advance at all? Did City Hall know?
No. did we get the calls, though, Nick?
I believe it.
Gags. It's like, what the hell? And then I get these phone calls. Like, just, yeah. You remember that, you guys? The guy with that clown with the... Okay. And that was
they were like tying balloons to the sewer grates?
Yeah. That was just very cool. And I teach a class on marketing, so I want to get Gags in there because I the film was great, but the marketing was...
We can get you in touch with those
marketing.
Guys, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. That's what it was. Caitlin, what's... March 9th, I know, is Indigenous... Then April, you followed up with what?
Female Perspectives. We've got a whole bunch of female-driven, female-casted, female-directed, female-written...
really?
Of works. Yeah, I think I think we got some of the best submissions in Female Perspective, so I'm back in that one.
All right, we're going to learn a little bit more about that. Mind on the Mayor, we'll be right back. What do you do?
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent running high-profile projects in Green Bay that change the city skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today.
Call 920-469-1146 to apply. That's 920-469-1146.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here on a good look at Thursday morning. Nicholas and Caitlin talk about the Green Bay Film Festival. Give it one more plug. Tell everybody what they can do this coming weekend.
Well, it's this Saturday at the Tarleton Theater, downtown Green Bay. You can get tickets on our website, gbfilmfestival.org. If you got questions, feel free to call us at 1-833-4-GB-FILM.
Okay, I just have to ask this. Have you guys seen the movie? What was the name of the movie when he was a prisoner?
Project Solitude?
Project Solitude.
Oh, yeah.
Aha! Did you hear how excited he was when
I
he said
did.
That?
Thank well,
you,
Project Nick. Solitude was shot, again, locally, a local right. team.
Well, you
a
know,
lot
he
of
was
people.
In it.
Yeah, well, we ran it, boy, was that 2 years ago,
did you?
I think. It was the last year we were at St. Norbert College. We ran that film and tried to get as many of the people there from the film as we could.
Oh, man, I would have signed autographs.
He and his champion were both there. They both played cons.
Yeah, I know. That was the best part. You were a prisoner.
I was, yes.
Well, I bet he ran that cell block, huh?
Right.
There's just so much we can... That's just a great evening. That's right. It was at the Radisson, then St. Norbert. Now you're at the Tarleton. That's right. And that's coming up March 9th. $20 to really see some films that you're not going to see anywhere else. And on top of that... meet some terrific people that are in love with that industry. So both Caitlin and Nick, you guys are great. Thank you for doing this for our community.
Hey, thanks for having us.
You know, you got Appleton and Oshkosh that are listening to us, and you know they're all welcome.
Yeah, come on up. Yeah.
Tarleton even is really cool. They put a signature cocktail together for each one of these events. Oh. So for our Wisconsin one, it was, you know, an old-fashioned a signature.
That
so it's always fun and different. Yeah, and that would be us.
Hey, you know what they got to do then? If they're doing old fashions and they want to make it real Wisconsin, we got to bring in some of that, the drink that the guy brought us in
maple
the other day.
Maple syrup?
He does his own maple syrup.
Ooh.
And
right
infuses,
out of the tree.
Infuses rye whiskey with this and oranges.
Oh, my.
It is like such a...
We're pretty lit up.
What time was that? Yeah, how did we get invited?
Somebody said you guys should always drink during your third hour.
Yeah, that's why you're going to a third hour, right?
Right, exactly. That's we had to. But it's not a big deal. But you also have free parking there, and you got hors d'oeuvres. It's just
it's free parking downtown. We're including heavy hors d'oeuvres in the price. But if you want a full meal, the restaurant is open. Tarleton has a great menu. Mm-hmm. Full bar if you want to have a drink.
Right.
It's a nice place to go spend a day.
How do you possibly get free parking?
Because
our guy Todd here just got another $35 ticket.
They own the lot.
Todd,
yeah.
No.
They own the lot, but they're doing something with that lot, too.
Are they? Okay.
We'll talk about that off air.
We'll do that. All right. Anyway, thank you for doing this. March 9th, the Green Bay Film Festival. Again, it's you're looking for something to do. There's a lot going on this weekend, but that is really something that should be on your list.
Come out with us. We get really into it. And we...
Cool. Thank you for coming in. All right.
Love
this
it, love
is great.
It.
All right. Thank you, Nicholas.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
And Caitlin. Thank you, Caitlin.
See you soon.
That's right, great. Good. I still want to do one of those. I really want to make a movie. I really do. Jim, I really
want to be in a movie.
I'm going to make one, Jim. Oh, I won't be in it. I'm just going to make one.
I don't believe
it. It's true. That's what I was asking.
Did you hear Caitlin as she was walking out? She goes, making a movie is a whole nother can of worms. Everybody wants to be in a movie. Making a movie.
Hey, Caitlin. I was going to say, Hey, Caitlin. Yeah, I was going to say, keep the cup. Put the cup in the sink. She can get a T-shirt, though. Give her a T-shirt.
Oh, man. Anyway, yes.
That's good stuff, man. Like I said, that one that I did with the Samoan football players, I still think of it all the time. It was so well done, and it was so human. You know what I mean? It was just so human.
They're real. I mean, those independent films, and, you know, I mean, let's be honest, a lot of those aren't going to make the big screen.
No.
So this is an opportunity for the producer and the
Well, a lot of them, I don't even know if they make up money-wise what was put into it.
No.
Because, like, the one where soldiers come from, it was big, though. I mean, it played in New York.
Oh, it did? Oh, okay, wow.
It played all over the country. I mean, it was really, really a big thing. But it was just independently produced. I want to say this young lady that did it, I think her dad was a professor at Michigan Tech, and they got some funding through them or something like that. But it was like 3 years in the making. I mean, she was with them when they're at the National Guard Armory in Hancock before they got deployed. And then she was basically with them in Afghanistan, and they were doing road security engineering where they'd go out basically to try to find the IEDs. And they got hit, and one of the guys got traumatic brain injury.
Really?
They had post-traumatic stress.
And they made that into a film that you saw.
It's a great film. It's called Where Soldiers Come From. If anybody can look that up, please do, because it's spectacular. It really is. I would love to play that here in Green Bay. I don't know if they played it at that film fest, but I'd love to get some of my Iraq and Afghanistan veterans to come and watch that.
Right. And the other thing, John, that she talked about in these students that do films. Now, these are shorter films, some of them. But what you can do with an iPhone, and some girl did a film, and I was mayor, and she invited me, and we watched it at her house. Her parents were there, a little popcorn, and it was just a 3-4 minute film. But you know, the work they put into that, the thought they put into the story, it's just great exposure for them. So, I mean, this is a good event this weekend. I mean, we got a lot of basketball going on, too. But, man, to get away 7 o'clock Saturday night.
I mean, I've
night,
been there. I love it. Yeah. I really love it. Like I said, Mark Murphy, I talked to him at that one. They went to, like, all of them. They go to, like, all the movies. A lot of people are really into that.
You're right. Him and his wife are into that.
Yeah. No, I'd love to do something more with them. And I think that's great. I hope people can get on out there. And what a great center, too, as far as the being over at the Tarleton. What a great facility that is for something like this.
And they have 6 different events. Now, this one, you know, like we said, this weekend, March 9th, is Indigenous. That's kind of like the theme of it. But, I mean, for $20.
Yeah, you can't beat it.
Right?
You can't beat it.
Hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, you can't beat
it. Good seats.
Yep.
Free parking. Yep. So, anyway, I would encourage people to go. I think that's going to be a nice event Saturday
so
night.
So, can we talk about your dilemma real quick here?
What?
We need to, you're okay, Jim. You're good at getting out of tickets. We got to talk to Todd and help him out.
So what happened to me this morning is I actually got here a little early, Jim. Right. Normally I get here about 5:10 or so.
Yeah.
Got in this morning at 4:50. All right. And we park right outside the station. And I went out to let some guests in, and I saw a ticket on my windshield, and it's for $32. I got it at 4:55 this morning, 5 minutes after I parked there to do my job. And it's $32.
And you got it for overnight parking, and you did not park overnight.
You've been there 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
I was there 5 minutes.
And it's stamped?
It is stamped.
All right.
How do you compete with that? What do you do?
Steve Grenier.
Okay.
Remember, he was on our show. He's your Uper
guy. He's my Uper guy.
That's weird, though.
I park here every day.
I know you can't park overnight.
I know.
We all know that.
So can you not park at all overnight?
Like, what if I come in at 4:55?
Are we not allowed to work overnight shifts?
I thought it was so, like, midnight to 4 is when we plow or something, so we don't want any cars on the road. But I don't know that they come around and try to make money.
I thought the meters go from 6 at night till 8 in the morning. I thought that's when they're shut off, basically, so to speak. That they're only active 8 in the morning till 6 at night.
That's true. But
then
that's,
why should he get one then in the middle of the night?
Because he can't park overnight. I mean,
but he didn't park overnight. He's there for 5 minutes.
But the parking attendant thought he parked overnight.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's...
Wow, well, it's nice that you thought that, but you didn't.
That's my point, right? I mean, that's an assumption.
So what? Right. I did he assume that when he came down at 4? Who goes to work at 4:45?
Lots of people.
Except Todd Michaels.
I know lots and lots of people, especially people in the media.
Right, I'll make you a deal. I will call the director of Public Works, and parking obviously reports to DPW, and I will find out what... Tell you what, worst case, I'll pay for the ticket. But
I don't want you to pay.
I want to get Steve on here and explain for people who come early why should they get a $32 ticket
when the meters aren't activated.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure they thought Todd parked overnight.
Well, that's a big assumption.
But that's a big assumption.
It is.
Right.
I'm telling you, I think that's the assumption.
Because
the guy
assumed that Todd should have to pay $32.
I don't know. I think this. I'm getting myself into a corner here. I'm going to get the director of DPW here to explain why, and I'll have him bring his magic wand.
Well, we got to do it before
3 days.
The 27th.
No, I'm going to call him right now. I'm going to call him during the break.
Okay, awesome. Let's get him on.
I don't know if he's going to want to do that.
Why?
I'll call him during the break.
All right.
It's 7:28. I mean, it's government.
Wake him up.
Do you think he's in?
It's not Friday yet.
I'll call him.
We got to set a quick break. Mind on the Mayor. We got Dave Daniels talking about a great book when we come back.
Awesome.
She knows how to choose now. She knows how to choose now. She on the left. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
There may be a little rain in the forecast for Wisconsin, but will it be enough to make up for what we're lacking right now? I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, and I'll tell you, more and more states starting to talk about this abnormally warm weather. Right here in the Midwest, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says we're catching attention.
Extremely dry in the Midwest. Does not look like things are going to be changing off these temperatures anytime soon. You know, that's going to be something we'll have to watch. You keep hearing that comparison to 2012 from people. So we'll see at this time frame. But it's a time window here with prices where they are. I've been kind of stepping into some ownership out into the summer months. Price with the movement, things are cheaper right now to get that ownership in and just start having that wild card out there in case we run into some weather issues. You know, hopefully not, but we always got to be prepared for anything that can move this market quickly.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. It's that kind of talk that's got our markets a little stronger in overnight trade. Numbers are next. Research, education, and promotion. That's where Wisconsin soybean marketing dollars are invested. Pat Malule from Clinton, current president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, says they evaluate every research dollar they invest multiple times.
The other part of those research proposals is it might come in as a four-year study, but we cannot fund more than 1 year. So we have to reevaluate them. And each year they resubmit and we get a progress report. And there's some, over the years, there has been some programs or proposals that we ask them to tweak midstream. And here's what's going on. And sometimes they push back and we come to a conclusion and move forward with them generally.
Pat Malule from Clinton is the current president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, research, education, and promotion. You can find out more about where soybean dollars are being invested in the state. Go to wisoybean.org. This message brought to you by the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. On Wednesday in Chicago, barrel cheese was unchanged at 162.5, 40-pound block cheese unchanged at 149. Double-A butter, though, gained 2.25 cents at 285 a pound. This morning in Chicago, right now, December corn is up 2 at 463. November soybeans currently trading a nickel stronger at 1147. July wheat's up 2 at 544. Right now, Class 3 fluid milk for April up 9 at 1609, but the May milk dropped 35 cents yesterday. Today closed at 1651 a hundredweight. I know I sound like a broken record, but it only comes around every other year. The World Champion Cheese Contest is going to conclude this afternoon around 2 o'clock at the Monona Terrace Convention Center in Madison with the announcement of the World Champion Cheese. Remember, we've got a lot of Wisconsin cheesemakers that are in the running. Follow along for the announcement, worldchampioncheese.org. I'm PM Yankee.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 50 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, becoming cloudy with some showers after midnight, our low 34. Tomorrow, some rain likely. We could get a quarter inch or more with a high of 44. A little snow can mix in with the rain tomorrow night before it all ends on Saturday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor here on 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS, and of course the Civic Media app. Beautiful morning out there. 34 in Green Bay, 37 in Appleton, 37 in Oshkosh. Thanks for Caitlin and Nick joining us. Talk about the Green Bay Film Festival this weekend, which is going to be a lot of fun at the Tarleton. Great thing. This segment brought to you by Midwest Restoration. They offer 24/7 emergency services for its clients. Provides a full range of services for both residential and commercial. Fire damage restoration, water damage, mold remediation, wind and hail damage, along with biohazard cleanup. They will help you like you can't believe if you have any of those problems. Give them a call, 920-MIDWEST, MWRestoration.com. They are great for the community. They help out Habitat for Humanity, the Red Cross, Feeding America, Make-A-Wish, schools and communities. Give them a call if you have those problems. 920-MIDWEST. Joining us right now, a good friend of mine, Dave Daniels, here to talk about a book, Our Father's War, regarding World War II veterans. And Dave can speak of this. You didn't write the whole book. You had a couple of chapters in there, basically, your family members. But you are basically a World War II buff because it played such a role in your family's history. Can you talk a little bit about that, Dave?
Sure. First, I just want to say I'm very humbled to be in the presence of two local legends. It's just great. And
thank you.
I'm here,
you.
I'm here too.
Three, actually.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Todd and John. We're glad you're here. This is going to be interesting.
So, yeah, so thank you very much. So, yeah, every family has a history nerd, and I guess I'm the nerd in our family.
Which is great.
It is.
Yeah, and every family has a story. I was very close to my grandpa. I was very fortunate. He made it through the war. And I grew up, you know, basically visiting him in Shawano, Wisconsin. He passed away in 2012 at the age of 93. And that's, I think, where my interest in this history really came from.
Go ahead.
So it was probably about 2 years ago that I was contacted by a gentleman, Chuck Shirek, about he had noticed a post I had done on Facebook about my grandpa's outfit, and he had also known another member of the same battalion, and he reached out to me about writing or helping write a couple chapters in a book. And so it was just over a 2-year process, and this book was just published about a month ago.
Okay, it's great. I mean, it's really big. The guys from New Jersey who put it out. It's called Our Father's War, but you've got two chapters in there. Explain that. And Dave and I have a history here. He contacted me when I was doing, I think it was the NBC 26 Mino Project or HTTV type show, one of them. But anyway, but it was a phenomenal story. Just to sum it up, one of the things they did is they had this tiny little store.
Yeah.
Would you say 10 foot by 12 foot?
6 by 8.
6 by 8.
6 by 8
that,
store.
That he still has in his backyard.
Yeah.
And that's a story in itself. And talk about your uncle. We got a lot to talk about. So I'm just going to set the stage and let you tell the stories of your family's history and the whole thing. It's really interesting.
The book's terrific, but there's pictures of that 6 by 8 restaurant whatever.
Yeah, it's a restaurant, basically, 6 by 8 foot.
And they supported a family. Anyway, you're
take
the
it
guest.
Away, Dave.
Yeah, so I'll start with my grandpa. He was, I think, the third man drafted in Brown County in end of 1940. He was inducted in January 1941, spent a year down at Fort Sheridan in Illinois, home on leave December 7th when they heard on the radio that Pearl Harbor was bombed, and he told my grandma, it might be a while before I see you again. Well, it wasn't until July of 1945 that he saw my grandma again.
Wow.
So they went to New York City. He had an anti-aircraft gun on top of a skyscraper in New York City because they thought the Germans were going to bomb New York. Then he went to Iceland, England. Landed in Normandy on D-Day plus 6, went through France, Holland, Belgium, through the Battle of the Bulge.
Can I just say something? You know, a lot of people are like, were you on D-Day on the day of D-Day? It's like, no, I was, you know, plus whatever, whatever. What people don't realize a lot of times, I still think it's one of the most unknown stories in all of World War II, the things right after D-Day, we lost lots more troops in the weeks after D-Day than we did on D-Day, because as soon as they moved inland, they hit the hedgerows. Our intelligence did not know that the Germans had machine guns and heavy weapons hidden in these hedgerows, and these guys would be walking across like a field, and the Germans would open up on them from all sides.
Yeah.
That story is never told. We lost thousands of troops right after D-Day. The guys that survived D-Day, lots of them just got killed then in the next couple of weeks in the hedgerows. And that story's never told. Oh. So I'm sure he went through that part of it, and it's like never talked about it.
Right. And it's a perfect defensive position.
Absolutely
because
perfect.
Of how thick they were. Yeah. So to tie in my grandpa to the Tommy store, my grandma's dad, Conrad Bob or Connie Bob, had this little Tommy store on Main Street in Shawano, which was a really small restaurant.
6 foot by 8 foot.
Yeah, six. And it had a little exterior structure around it with some additional seating and stuff like that. And because it was started in, you know, the 30s up until the 50s, that supported their family. And so other family members helped out, including my great uncle, who was actually killed on March 13th, 1945. So the 79th anniversary will be next week.
Wow.
So that was the second chapter I did for the book, was on my great uncle Lee. And there are some really cool pictures of Lee standing next to the Tommy store.
Right.
You know, he will have been a teenager at that time helping out. And everyone pitched in. My dad even worked at the Tommy store at one point.
And that supported the family, basically, right?
It did. Yeah. That was their income.
But I people need to know that, read that, learn that. Because, I mean, people complain a little bit today. And, you know, you go back to that. That's amazing. They supported a family with a 6x8 store. And they all pitched in. They all worked hard. So that's a cool part of your story. But even bigger than that is just the service that he.
Yeah, yeah. And so my dad was really young. He was born in 41. So my grandpa actually went back in June or July of 41 to see my dad after he was born. Had a 3-day pass. That was the last time he saw him until July of 45. So one of the funny stories is my grandma was working at the Tommy store, and my dad comes in as, you know, 4-year-old kid and says, "Mommy, Daddy's home." And my grandma looked at him and said, "What are you doing here?" And in walked my grandpa. Well, my grandma jumped across the counter, and that was it. And 9 months to the day my uncle was born.
No.
Right, love that. Right in the store.
I don't think I'm coming into that store anymore. Tell a little bit about finding that store, reclaiming
right.
that store.
And sure. how you got it back.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So the Tommy store was shut down in the mid-50s. Lady bought the interior structure, which is a 6x8 portion, and moved it up to her home on the Wolf River north of Shawano. Well, my grandpa knew this lady and at some point went out to visit her and asked if we could buy that store back from her. And they had used it for a playhouse since the 50s. She agreed, and so we went out, and she said, we just put new shingles on, so give us $30 for the shingles and you can have it. So went out with some buddies in a car trailer, loaded it up, and it's in our backyard now.
That's and when I did this story, the cool thing is he showed me some of the stuff they found there then in the floorboards, and there were pennies that from like 1942, 1943, which is just like, oh my gosh, this might have been some soldier who,
right?
You know, this was his thing when he came there for you guys. And talk a little bit about your great uncle then, what his experience.
So he is a kid, right? He is 19 years old when he is killed. We have two sons, 17 and 20, and it's really hard to think about what these young kids go through at that age, the amount of responsibility they have, the amount of commitment, and they're naive. And thank goodness they are naive, because anyone in the right mind wouldn't want to go into a situation like that.
Yep.
So Lee was like a dad to my dad, because his dad was off to war too. And in one of the letters that I have from Lee, he talks about sending money back to have my great, great, great grandma buy my dad a panda bear. And he talked about, I'll send the money, but it takes so long to get the money back, you know, and everything else. And then unfortunately he was killed. Yeah. On March 13th, 1945, shortly after crossing into Germany. We have another letter between, my grandma and Lee talking about my grandpa Dick, because they were only about 5 miles away at one point.
Wow.
And they
were brothers.
Brother-in-laws.
Brother-in-laws.
Yes,
okay,
brother-in-laws. Okay. Yep. The Americans had captured the Ludendorff Bridge at Remagen, you know, the only remaining standing bridge on the Rhine.
Yeah. Yep. And lost a lot of guys doing it.
21
engineers got killed in one setting.
When it collapsed. Yeah. Yep. So my grandpa was there for anti-aircraft protection. Lee was in the 9th Infantry Division, and they were pouring as many soldiers across the bridge as they could. Well, unfortunately, they were very, very close, but they never were able to see each other. Mm. And then Lee was killed, and on his last letter home, or I'm sorry, the last letter my grandma sent to Lee It was returned to her, and on the backside, it was stamped deceased.
Oof.
So just a really sad story.
Imagine opening up the mailbox, right, and you see that. Jeez. That's incredible. This is great family history. And this is the thing I love about writing books and doing that. It says, I couldn't care less about the General Pattons, the General MacArthurs, the whoever. I love small town kids. It doesn't have to be a small town. I just like normal kids and telling their stories. I didn't think their stories have ever been told well enough over history, and that's why I try to do a little thing for locally. And this book's great too in that way. But it's great with guys like you, Dave, who takes their own family history, right, and keeps it alive. That's why I try to encourage every time I speak someplace, folks, talk, especially these elderly veterans that we have, or even the Vietnam vets, known to get their stories. These are family stories, man, for for history. So,
and sometimes they're not real free about talking about it. So it takes some time. But I think once they start talking about it, we've heard that they become pretty open about it. And for you to capture that in our father's war, this book, now Johnny's read it. I haven't. Where is it? Where do we get it?
Right now it's on Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon.com. That's where mine is too, basically.
Okay. Yeah, there's Kindle. It's like $2.99. The soft cover is $14.99, yeah, and then there's a hardcover that's come out. So,
but I think so many more people could do this, and especially I'd love to get. I know that at Appleton West High School, I think it was, there's a teacher there who's just fervently passionate about these kids finding out about your grandpas, right, finding out about your dads, finding out about your uncles, your great uncles, and actually I had a lady contact me just recently about one of the guys that's in my most recent book, 50 Strong. And she said, could you encourage him to write his own book with the whole story? She's like, I know you can't, because you had 50 different people, you can't tell. But she said, for our grandkids and our grandkids' grandkids, we want them to know what this guy did. And I think that's so important. That's why I encourage kids a lot of time, or younger people, because they will learn like you can't believe. And to realize that this guy who's this kindly grandpa who, whatever, he was a badass when he was 19 years old. Right. They need to know this.
I couldn't agree more with you. That's one thing that I'd like everyone to just think about a little bit. I'm third generation of a World War II vet, and I'm in my mid-50s. We were blessed that our kids knew my grandpa, their great-grandpa. I really think it's up to all of us just to spend a little bit of time, get that history recorded and wrote down, because these kids, these next generations, need to know the sacrifices that were made for them, so that we can have a radio program like this, or we can walk down the street. It's very, very important.
And, I got to be honest with you. I still, to this day, am startled sometimes when I read about some of the things in the war early on. How we won that war, the Japanese controlled everything in the Pacific. Germans basically controlled Europe. And here we were, isolationists, basically. We're the 16th ranked military in the world, right behind Romania. And somehow our country came together out of the depths of the Depression and took on two of the biggest superpowers in the history of the world and beat them. Yeah. And why it was? It wasn't because of MacArthur and Patton. It's because of people like your great uncle and your grandpa.
On a volunteer basis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think unbelievable.
What they did. Hey, the other thing I always want to say about your book is, I don't know who did the pictures, but it's good to look at those pictures and just see how young these
that's
kids are.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say
that. And
I think that's important.
And another thing is, after reading these other stories, after reading your books, John, you realize that these are just everyday people.
Absolutely.
That did just incredibly amazing things when called upon. And no one wanted to be in that situation, but so many people stood up and answered the call.
They did.
And you know what they did?
They were young. They lied about their age to get in there.
I always talk about this.
That's crazy.
Yep. I always talk about this. I'm like, well, what did you do when you came back home? Well, I actually built this house here. I mean, you were a home builder. No, I worked at the mill. I said, I thought you meant you actually built the house. Well, I did, me and my brothers. I mean, how'd you know how to build a house? Well, we just did it.
Yep.
They're those kind of guys.
That was my grandpa. He built his house when he got
there. There you go. Yep. There's another one. Yes. Well, Dave Daniels, thank you so much for sharing this stuff with us. Your grandfather, your great uncle, the Tommy store, which is so cool. I would encourage people to get this. Our Father's War, get on Amazon.com. Two stories in there on the Daniels family from Shawano and the whole area there. Dave, thank you so much, and thank you for what you do at keeping these stories and this heritage alive.
And thank you, guys, and thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thanks,
my
friend. Dave Daniels, that was great. We're going to set a quick break. We come back. We're talking about the Brain Center of Green Bay event coming up. Also, the grant from Oshkosh. Mine and the Mayor, back after this.
There have been times in my life I've been wondering why. Still somehow I believe we always survive.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
KFC's new Smash Potato Bowl is out here looking like an absolute snack. For just $3.49, you get crispy secret recipe fries topped with creamy mashed potatoes, cheese sauce, bacon crumbles, and even more melty cheese. If you're looking to smash your hunger, grab KFC's new Smash Potato Bowl for just $3.49. For a little extra, add nuggets to the mix. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary. Tax, tip, and fees extra.
Fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
There have been times in my life I've been wondering why. Still somehow I believe we always survive.
Hey, welcome back. Am I Northern Mayor? That was fun, wasn't it?
You know, what a great guy. He works full time, right? He's busy, he's got kids, but to take the time and do a little bit of research, and the stories in here are terrific.
And that's the thing. That's the thing I try to get across right to people. You know, he doesn't have to be a general, doesn't have to be a Medal of Honor, doesn't have to be whatever. Those people that raise their right hand and get sent into those situations, and even, like I always say this too, it doesn't matter if you were on Iwo Jima or wherever you were. You know, once you raised your right hand back in those days, it was out of your control. Yeah. You might be sent to, you know, a mess hall in Kansas, or you might be sent to charge the machine guns on Normandy Beach, and they didn't know where they were going. So, I mean, the courage it took, but the way our country came together during that era, and that's why Tom Brokaw, you know, there was kind of a controversy with Tom Brokaw with his Greatest Generation, because then a lot of other people said, well, how great was it? There was discrimination. There was so-and-so, you know, that the world wasn't right. Or the country wasn't right. And that's true. You can't sugarcoat any of those things. But the fact that somehow this country, which was so divided in many ways, and so many people were isolationists, and we put no money into our military, none, because we're in the middle of the Depression, and there were bread lines and soup lines, and we went from that to take on two countries, especially Germany with their industrial might, and everything, who'd been planning for war since 1933 when Hitler took over, and Japan, which had been preparing for this and already in China and in places ingrained in the South Pacific. And here we were so far behind them.
Yeah.
Our Navy was had its butt kicked in Pearl Harbor, obviously. And now somehow they came together between industry and business and the local guys like Dave's great uncle and his grandpa. And somehow we knocked off both of those super mega powers.
Right.
Unbelievable. Wow. And his kids. And like I said, it's like the 32nd Division, the Red Arrow Division, which is the National Guard unit from around here. They were sent to New Guinea, which was the Alamo, basically. Because if we lost that battle, the Japanese were going to Australia. If they controlled Australia, we weren't going to do anything in the South Pacific. And these kids that were making $1 every time they would show up for drill at the National Guard armories in New London and Okano Falls and Oconto and Green Bay and all these, and the UP, all these small towns. And it's like, you know, there's this one book I had on the history of the 32nd Division, and it listed in the back, it was like their history, okay? And it listed all the different units and where their headquarters were. And one was Marquette, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading it, and there's these guys that I knew from when I was growing up. It's like, oh my God, he was there? Then this other guy's like, oh my gosh, he owned the Olympia Bar where I used to go to. And the other one was one of my teammates' dads. And they fought New Guinea, which was such an unbelievably tough place to fight with the diseases, the malaria, the yellow fever, the dengue fever, all kinds of things. And they somehow won that against the Imperial Japanese. It's incredible what they did. I never felt like they got enough. But again, forget the superiors. It was the grunts that got this done.
And I think that's really important that, and I'm fine with the Greatest Generation. I mean, I don't think that should be that. I think that's what they were.
Yeah.
But think about it. And as I said, when he was here, that was voluntary. They raised, they
Oh, lines were so long. It was mind-boggling.
And then not only do we have to, you know, be grateful for the soldiers, but what about the families back here? I'll see you in four years.
4 or 5 years. Yeah. Isn't that incredible?
You couldn't get away with that today.
Just incredible.
I mean, would people, I don't know that. I'm just not sure a lot of people would say, okay, that's okay. I'll take care of this for 4 or 5 years.
And for younger people, ask your family about their history. When my father died last year, after he died, I realized about his military service.
Absolutely.
I kind of knew that he did some stuff. I didn't know he was in Korea. I didn't know what he faced. I didn't know that he lied on his age to get into the Army.
So my father-in-law, I mean, those are some great, great stories.
Isn't that incredible?
Kids. And
the stories of my grandmother going, I don't want you to go. Like, she was trying to hold, you know.
The grandkids can do this research, too.
Absolutely.
No question. 100%. I encourage that all the time. I got a text. I recently watched Fury on Netflix. This movie depicts the storm they encountered with the Germans on those fence lines. Yeah, it's incredible. One of my guys, Bill Bash, actually the very first person I interviewed for my very first book, was involved with that. I think he was D-Day 6. And he talks about the hedgerows. He said it was like being one of the terms guys used to use, that's a real can of mash, or, you know, one of those terms those old guys always used to use. But he said you'd just be going across, and guys would be screaming and yelling and getting shot, and they didn't know where they're getting shot from. And it was just, he said, you'd fall to the ground, you just grit your teeth, you just want to bury yourself in a hole, but you'd have to get up and keep moving. Mm-hmm. And then more guys around you are shot, and they're dead. And then you'd get to the line, it's like, where's my buddy? And he's laying back there shot. And then the next day, you know what you do? You go across another one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. And that story's never been told, I think, on the hedgerows. So, no, I think it's, please, folks. And again, there's so many Vietnam vets that haven't talked.
Yeah.
Talk to your kids. Yeah. Talk to your grandkids. Actually, not the kids. Talk to the grandkids. But, you know, one of the things I talked to a guy one time. Why didn't you talk? You know, because I've had this so many times. And but I have so many people come up to me and say, thank you for writing that book. I had no idea about my grandpa. I had no idea. You know why? Because they never wanted people to see how they suffered. They never want, because that was a generation of, no, we're fine. Yeah, we're good. I can handle it. Don't worry it. And they didn't want their family members sometimes to know how tough it was for them. And they just laugh it off and whatever. And that's why with our Vietnam vets, the Korean vets, we don't have a lot of them left. World War II vets, we got very few. But we're still hoping to have Jack Krasinski from Pulaski. Hope to get him on his 100th birthday.
The other thing that we can learn from this is that I think some people are a little bit, woe is me. It's like, read this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you think you got some problems today?
Right?
Yeah.
Or you think life is tough? Read this.
Yeah.
And it's not, the other thing is that it's not that long ago.
No. Lifetime, basically.
It is.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
But, you know, another thing, I just read a good book, too, on Vietnam, this guy that got wounded in Vietnam. And they fought really, really, really hard to save his legs and everything. But he talked about the pain he went through twice a day when they have to change his bandages. And they gave him no anything,
right?
And they just, he said he would either bite through his lip and his lip would be bleeding, or he'd just bury his, because you're around all the other wounded guys, so nobody wanted to cry, nobody wanted to whatever,
right?
And they would rip these bandages off his legs that were just mangled, not use any, would just rip them off, and the skin would come off and the whatever would come off. It's just, he said the pain, and it was twice a day, and he said you'd start sweating, you'd look at the clock, and it's like you start sweating just dreading what's going to happen. And those guys went through that for years and years. And that nobody knows about that story. You know, it's like what those guys suffered with when they got wounded was pretty incredible. And he said, you know, I watched every war movie there ever was. And a guy got wounded and they badged him up and he was joking around. And then he was, you know, he's
flirting with the nurse.
Flirting with the nurses.
That's not the way I know.
He said, you didn't see guys just lying in their bunks crying because of the pain they were in.
Right.
So anyway, got texts. A great show. Very interesting. Love the history of veterans and the local events. Thank you. Our pleasure. That's what we do.
And
we're keep doing it. And we're going to fight Todd's parking ticket.
We're going to do that, too.
We do all those things. That's another one on our list. We got to set a quick break. Once again, when we come back, we'll have Kelsey O'Donnell-Mothy, the Brain Center of Green Bay event that's coming up, which is a really cool thing. And then we got Joe Furlow from the Grand in Oshkosh, which is a very cool place. Mino and the Mayor back after this.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Get 0% interest for up to 3 years at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. I'm Gina Della from Pella. Pella's free in-home consultations make replacing or redesigning your windows and doors easy. We go beyond just measuring and handing you a quote by listening and educating you on all of your product options. And with Design Works, you can see what your home will look like before you buy. Order by March 31st to get 0% interest for up to 3 years. Set your free consultation at PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.